Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about your sex and your happiness. And you know that's the most important thing to me. Hopefully, it's one of the most important things to you. I don't know how you prioritize, but, you know, I always say, if you're not happy, you're probably not sexy. And if you're not really sexy, you're probably not that happy. And I'm not talking about looking like a centerfold in a magazine. I'm talking about any body type that you have, any age that you are, any height or weight that you are. I don't care about that. I just want you to feel good in your body. And that's what this show is about. So today is really no exception. I want to tell you a little bit about my guest. She's a friend of mine and we're colleagues. And I want to just, you know, tell you a little bit about her bio. Her name is Triambika Mahaviv, and she's been She's been featured on Playboy TV, and she's an internationally recognized seminar leader. She's a professional sex and consciousness and intimacy coach and the founder of Ecstatic Awareness Institute. She's guided thousands of men and women to empower their sexuality by helping them to release shame, gain confidence, learn to have extraordinary sex, and experience exceptional stamina. She helps people also create healthier attitudes and just better health all around the field of sex. So, you know, she's a woman after my own heart. So, welcome to the show, Triambika.
Thank you so much, Lori. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't know when the last time was that I interviewed you. I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
I think it might have been about 2009, maybe even more.
Oh, my God. That's 7 years. That's way too long. 7 or 8 years ago. I'm sorry. So much has happened to us in the past 9 years. So, and we're colleagues now. We're also on the same, we're on the ESTA faculty together. So that's pretty awesome. Plus you've gotten married. And so lots is happening in your life.
Lots of growth, lots of expansion, lots of just a big, beautiful journey.
Yes, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Well, let's talk about it, because one of the reasons I got in touch with you and wanted to re-interview you, and I'm so glad I did now that I know how long it's been, I wanted to talk to you about what's happening in your life. Like, I know that you're focused on some new things. You're focusing on what you call rebranding. So before you were what, and now you're moving to what, so people get a clear idea of what it means when you say that you're rebranding.
Well, you know, there's not a huge gap in the difference of what I'm doing, except that I'm focused more in something I'm really, really passionate about. So my life is, you know, for the majority of my adult life, I have been in the field of conscious sexuality, you know, teaching, guiding, helping people connect their sexuality with their heart. And that's still true. But, you know, I felt a really strong call to guide men. And particularly soulful men who are, you know, at that place where they've done a lot with their life, they've accomplished various things, and they've just sort of are picking up their head saying, hey, wait, there's this missing piece. And it always, always leads back to sexuality or relationship or both. And, you know, and they're wonderful men. And I feel like there's so many amazing, empowered goddesses out there today. You know, there's so many women doing so many wonderful things and growing and transforming in their life and owning businesses and taking care of themselves in so many ways. And they're always asking the same thing. They're like, where are all the good men?
Yes.
So I'm here to help those men.
That's so great. I mean, I feel like men are lost. And I actually will own that I probably was a contributor to that, since I was an original feminist card carrying, you know, and so I didn't understand the difference between going after being paid similar wages for similar work versus castrating men for patriarchy. You know, I used to be terrible. I mean, I would be sitting in a bar and I smoked cigarettes then. And if a man rushed over to try and light my cigarette, I would go, "What, you think my hands don't work? I can light my own cigarette." You know, I didn't get that that would have, over decades, that that would have a long lasting effect on men, on the male gender in particular.
Yeah, you're so right. And then it's true. Feminism, while it provided very good and important changes for women, definitely left both genders, I think, at a big loss for how to really be with one another in this beautiful dance that we have between masculine and feminine. And I think that men in particular have been, at a loss and really trying to find their way, because they still want to be in, they still want to be in love. They want to be in service to the feminine. Men want to show up for the women that they care about. That's just the facts. And I love the way that men show up, and they are having some trouble because women are so amazingly self-empowered, and that's such a good thing. But to really measure up to what these very sophisticated women need, they're left with like, where do you go to learn that? You know, where do you go to get that information? How do I measure up to these women who are, you know, way ahead? It takes courage, it takes confidence, it takes, you know, being able to unleash their sexual potential in a positive way that a woman would really respond to. And so I just love supporting that cause.
Yes, I mean, it's wonderful. And, you know, here's the thing. I think I would go a step further than what you said. I would even think that men, they really still want to make women happy.
They do.
It's difficult because one, women most of the time don't even know what they want. I mean, they change their mind, you know, left and right. But also, women are perfectly capable these days of getting everything they want because they have struck out so totally big, like living large in the workplace, et cetera. And what you said, they're entrepreneurs, they own businesses, they run things, they can do whatever. And they took, like, men don't have that role anymore. So like, how could they or would they make women happy if, and women are miserable about the fact that they don't know how to relate to men anymore. Like, women have become men. So it's like,
we've become the men that we wanted to marry.
Yes.
So where is his place in our life? You know, what role can he fill? And, you know, and if a man doesn't have some way to feel useful in your life, some way that he feels like he can show up and make you happy, then it's not that interesting for him either to want to stick around.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that is the
that's the dilemma.
Yeah, that's the dilemma. I mean, that's just like, that's so, I don't know. It's really frustrating. I mean, I feel it. I feel it myself. I always feel it. I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm so much and I hardly ever find anybody who can like meet up to me, hold a candle to me. It's not right. That I don't find men that I fall in love with. I do fall in love lots. And with lots of men, I adore them. But I feel like I'm so much that they feel a little intimidated, you know, I think they talk themselves out of like really trying to go for it with me because they feel like, how are they ever going to live up to who I am? And right. You know, it's so crazy. I'm low maintenance. I'm very high with integrity. Like if you give me your word about something, you better keep it. And I will call you on that. I will hold people to their word. But other than that, when I'm chilling, you know, I just want to make love and drink champagne and eat good food. I don't care, you know, they don't have to be Einstein, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you're not alone in feeling exactly how you feel where, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm too much. You know, I've felt that way too. Like, whoa, I'm a lot. I'm a lot to handle. But I'm not, right? It's like, wait a minute. I'm the coolest person you'll ever know. Why wouldn't you want to hang out with me? And there is that intimidation factor. And I think that thousands of women are in the same exact position. We're like, wow, here I've grown myself to be this amazing person, totally self-sufficient and able to just, you know, knock people's socks off with my charm and personality and nobody can meet me. And so what do we do? You know, what do we do with those men who really can, they can meet her. They can, with this metaphorical her, they can,
yes,
I think
they can.
Don't have the tools.
Correct. Correct. And so I get it. I get that's what you're doing. And, thank you. Maybe you're the like if I meet somebody who's really, you know, meaningful to me, maybe I'm sending him to you. Yeah, because it doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much to open up the confidence. What would you say is like the most sessions you've ever had with anybody who was coming to you to learn skills and confidence?
About 25.
25 sessions. That sounds a lot to me. So, you know.
I mean, this is over the course of close to a year of working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways I think that men can be supported to step up and to show up and to be the amazing, magnetic man that a woman of this caliber would want you to be. But I think really, like, you know, you said about integrity, Lori, that actually really struck a chord, because I think that that's actually foundational for anybody at all. But in this case, since we're talking about men, to have integrity, that means that they walk their talk and they say what they mean, right? They only say what they actually can deliver. So that means if they're gonna be at a certain place or call at a certain time or say that they're gonna offer you a certain experience, then, you know, if they want to have any credibility with you, they better damn well do it.
That's right. That's right? It. And, I mean, yeah. To me, that's the bottom line right there. That's, you know, that's the line in the sand that I have. I have it with everybody, actually. I have it with my friends. I have it with my business colleagues, and I have it with men in my life. Why wouldn't I? I keep my word. I want them to keep their word. You can take my word to the bank. If for some reason I change my mind or become unable to fulfill on what I said I would do, I'm telling you in advance. I'm not like waiting for you to find out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, oh, I couldn't call you when I said I would, so I just didn't.
Right. I just let it slide, hoping you wouldn't notice.
Yeah. If you want to lose instant credibility with a woman, don't do it. And then don't tell her that you're not going to do it.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's foundational. I mean, I often send people to the Landmark Forum because I feel like in the Landmark Forum, they learn about their word is their bond. You know, their word is the only thing we can go on. So I send them to that. But if they don't want to do that, I have them read David Data. He talks about men of integrity. You know, if they want to read a book about that, before coming to have sessions and skills with you, or coming to my classes, or what have you, or coming to ISTA, I mean, it helps if they just have that bottom line that they know that if they give their word, they should keep it.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing I'm thinking of is just the whole definition of integrity means wholeness, right? To oneness, to be one, and I think one of the other ways that men lose their integrity is by not having enough self-respect and allowing the woman in their life that they're trying to impress, right? They're trying to ingratiate, to allowing her to be rude or to be bratty or to be, you know, walk all over him, you know, or say things to him that are castrating. I think a man needs to learn to actually speak up and stand up for himself.
Yes.
I certainly will appreciate him and trust him more if he does that, rather than just letting me, you know, be rude or emasculating.
Yes, I think you're so right. It's so important. Yeah, men have to get their balls back. So so that's one way they set a boundary about bad treatment. And I think it's, you know, it's definitely earns respect. Well, we need to take a little break here. So when we come back, we're going to continue on this because this just made me think of a bunch of other things. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today I'm interviewing Triambika Mahaviv. And Triambika she's been featured on Playboy TV. We'll talk about that a little bit on the next segment. And she's a seminar leader, internationally recognized. And basically what we're talking about a lot is how she works with men, soulful men, to gain confidence and learn to have extraordinary sex skills and communication skills. This is her passion. And that's what we're talking about. And I hope if you're listening and you're a woman that you're going to share this podcast with the men in your life and your sons. And if you're a man listening, listen up. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world, and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it, and every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the love writer in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back, and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code ButterflyWorkshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, LUVRYDR. This is Sex and Happiness, and today we're talking about, well, Triambika's talking to us about how she's, you know, shifting some focus in her life, and we're talking about, you know, men reclaiming their balls. That's what I said in the last segment, and how they go about doing that. And, you know, Triambika, I often, especially men who are big in stature, you know, like over 6 feet, like larger men, I notice that they're so afraid. Like somebody told them in their life, you know, don't roughhouse or don't let your animal out with women. So I notice with them in particular that they're so held back. And lots of times in the classes, in the ISTA training, the International School of Temple Arts, the first training, SSSEX, I sometimes like jump over to big men and I go, show me your animal, roar. And they go, what? And I say, I bet somebody told you to hold back because you're a big guy. Don't hold back. We're built to hold that. We women, no matter, I'm 5'1". It doesn't matter. I'm built to hold all that. Like, show me your animal. And it's just like, it's a little bit off-putting for them at first. And then they get this big smile. So you got a take on that?
I totally know what you're talking about, you know, and almost like big teddy bears, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, men are just so amazing in so many ways, and I love so much about them. And, you know, those guys that feel that they have to hold back, and I think it's the big guys, but I think it's a lot of guys, because, you know, men have gotten such a bad rap, particularly around their sexual desire. And, you know, women have their guard up, and rightfully so, right? Bad things have happened. But they don't want to be that guy, that guy that, you know, creeps women out, or that, you know, gets overly abusive around sexual energy, or, you know, makes women uncomfortable. They just cringe at the thought of ever being perceived as that guy. And so they hold it all back. And the thing is, and here's what I've really come to realize, is that the very thing that they're holding back, right? They basically kind of cut themselves off at the waist and just be the nice guy. Lots of heart, lots of head, but, you know, you don't really feel their full rawr, their full animal.
Yeah.
That thing that they're holding back is the very thing that a woman wants. She wants that from him. She wants to feel all of him connected, right? His heart, his sex, his mind. She wants to feel all of it there. When he's holding that part of him back for fear that he's going to come off too strong, there's a way in which I think a woman doesn't totally trust him. And so he seems trustable on the friend level, but she's not trusting him to carry her through her life as the man of her dreams.
So true. That is so true. It's like there's some piece, it's just, it's in the shadow, that piece or something. And it's, if it comes out, it feels like it's going to come out wonky. You know, like, I totally agree with you. It's like, yeah. I think men have been shamed for having penises. I mean, like, well, the other thing is that women don't get that that's men's instrument of love. That, I mean, it's not just this tool that, you know, women are afraid of being raped by or whatever. That is the way men express love, just as women express love from their breasts and their heart. And this shame piece. Well, the last time I saw you, you were speaking in Montreal, and you were, the whole talk you gave was about shame.
That's right. That was a really big talk. And, you know, because I really believe sexual shame, of all the shames that are out there, and shame just sucks. You know, shame is just, it's going to take you down, right? You're going to just be stopped dead in your tracks when you feel shame. But sexual shame in particular has a quality that is, it's hitting in that place. It's such a primal part of us, our primal nature, right? The thing that makes us most human is our ability to procreate, and that happens through sexuality, and therefore there's all these, you know, taboos and things wrapped around that. And so when we have shame in that area, that primal instinctual part of us, we have shame in the deepest place we could possibly feel it. And it threatens your life, you know, I mean, possibly literally, but also figuratively, you know, it threatens your life to be joyful, to, you know, have any kind of fun or relationship or open-heartedness. So it's an important one to tackle, for sure.
Really. And I'm so glad you're doing it, because I thought the talk that I saw you give was absolutely brilliant. And, I was so impressed with it. And, yeah, I just feel like shame is, it's a killer. It's not a good life force. Shame is something that's not even, I don't even think it's an original feeling. I think it's like guilt and shame. I think that they're overlay feelings, that they're feelings, they're conditions that are put on people to control them. And, I don't think it's an original, it's not like fight or flight. I just think that it's, you know, it's conjured up, and it's, we should get it out of us and off of us as quickly as possible. So let's talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to switch to this another new focus that you're going to have called practitioner training. I'm not sure exactly what you're calling it, but let's call it that for a minute. So if a man, you're located in Southern California. So if a man wants to have sessions with you, do they have to be in person, or you can do Skype?
The majority of the work that I do is on Skype. We meet, you know, within a container of time. We might work together for a few sessions, or 3 months, or 6 months, or a year. And in that time, we'll create something together that really works, where we can also meet in person for a VIP day. Maybe we'll meet once or twice or three times, depending on the container that we create. And I think that a combination of having those in-person meetings and the ongoing weekly or biweekly calls on Skype are really great to create a foundation and a support system for this man's transformation. I've seen it really work well.
And then do you often get to meet the women in these men's lives? Assuming that they have women, they may not all have women, but do you get to meet those women as well?
I occasionally do. I love it when a woman pops in on the camera on Skype and says, "Hi, thanks for working with my guy." You know, it's wonderful. That's always a really good feeling.
But
a lot of the guys don't have women in their life, and that's part of it, is that they want that, and they need some tools on how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'm excited about it. And now I'm more excited because I might want to send somebody to you, which would be great. You know, because I don't always want to be the teacher with somebody that I'm seeing. You know, it feels like a conflict of interest, and it happens in bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me. And so it's like, okay, put it down, Laurie, you know, but I can't. Sometimes I can't, because it's like, okay, I really like this man, and there's a couple of step ups here, and I have to deliver them. Who else is gonna?
Right.
So maybe I send them to you. And if I know that it's on Skype, it makes it easier. So thank you. That could be really helpful.
That'd be my pleasure.
Thanks. Well, tell us a little bit about practitioner training. What is it? What does it mean? And is that what it's going to be called? And how do people find out about it? And, you know, like, what is it essentially?
So, okay. Well, we're calling it the ISTA practitioner training, so that it doesn't get confused with the level one, because the level one, the ISTA level one, used to be called a practitioner training. And we shifted out of that, as you know, to be able to cater to people of all walks of life. And so when we talk about practitioner, we're talking about sexual healing work. We're talking about somatic, sexual, hands-on practitioner work where, you know, it's edgy. Okay. I'm not going to lie. It's edgy work, but it is such needed work. And it's something that I have had the good fortune to be able to offer for years and years and years. I firmly believe in this path of, bringing the skills that we have to be able to, catalyze transformation and healing in another person's life, and allowing that person who's receiving to totally expand in their awareness and in their connection to source and in their connection to themselves, and just overall live a happier life. And so getting back to what the practitioner training is that we have it's a 3-month course, and we are doing it's an 8-day training. And then we go on for 3 more months on calls, and there's homework assignments. And so the practitioners are going to be doing sessions. They're going to be having to receive sessions as well as give sessions and reporting on that. And we'll be looking out. I mean, you know, looking, what do you call it when you're sort of monitoring their sessions, I suppose.
Yeah, monitoring, coaching, overseeing.
Overseeing.
Or even apprenticing, like they'd be apprenticing with you.
They'll be apprenticing with us, and we'll have calls as well so that they can ask questions and we can deliver more information. And, of course, during the 8-day training, and this is all brand new, by the way. ISTA has been, I'm sure you've spoke about ISTA on your show many times. So, you know, ISTA is, you know, we have the level one, the level two, and the level three. And even though the level one was once a practitioner training and then got transformed, this is a whole new training. This is not what we had before. This is now us bringing really core skills to be able to work with people in this way and take them through big, big transformations.
But that's, hold on a second. That is fabulous. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. What kind of big transformations, what is meant when we come back, because we need to take another break here. But just hold on to that thought for a minute. Like, you know, what kind of things are possible? What's the kind of people that should apply or what have you. So we'll come back to that as soon as we come back from the break. So this is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. This is the show that talks to you about sex and happiness. And that's what we're talking about today. I don't think we could be even any more direct about it than what we're talking about today. I mean, that's exact. Triambico works one-on-one with people with their sex and their happiness, their ability to become loving, masterful, empowered men, primarily, and men and women in life. And now we're talking about practitioners, other people who will be doing what she does. So, I mean, this is, we're all up in this here. So stay tuned. We're coming right back. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm.
Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Lori Handlers told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We're talking today about healing men from inadequacies that they feel, insecurities that they feel in the sexual arena, in the dating arena, in relationships. And now we've bridged it to people becoming practitioners and doing similar things to what Triambica has been doing for a long time, which is having sessions with people and empowering them. So where we left off in the last segment, we were talking about transitions that people could go through if and when they become practitioners. So who ideally would be attracted to this? And then what kind of transitions or transformations would they be going through during the training, and how long is it, and all that kind of stuff?
You know, I like to think of the people that are attracted to this work, it comes from a calling. I mean, it's not like somebody up and says, I think I want to be a sexual healer when I grow up.
Right.
I think it comes from a feeling of something that they either experienced in their own life, some awakening that they've had, or an awakening that they would like to have, and then they see the need in society and feel that deep inner calling to want to serve in this way. And I think that all types of people too, you know, body workers and people who have any kind of background in sex education also are often drawn to this type of work. And people who've had backgrounds in Tantra and, you know, other forms of sexual healing arts. But, you know, the transformation that can happen, I mean, you know, that's a really big question because it's so unique and individual for so many people. But I can speak for myself because this was my journey. Many, many years ago, and what brought me to this path is that the very first time, and I was laden with a lot of my own shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of my body, you know, shutting down and armoring myself, putting on weight, and, you know, just all the things that had happened in my adolescence that I felt so negatively about. By the time I hit my 20s, I was not in a good place. You know, a lot of boundaries crossed and things like that. And so when I received my first sexual healing session, it was like an exorcism, Lori. It was like I was like exorcising demons out of my body that had been there for way too long. And what was happening as that that those demons, that energy was leaving my body. It was being instantly replaced with love, with self-acceptance, with honoring, with appreciation for myself. And this was the work of my of the people that were working with me that were supporting this. And I will never ever forget that moment, because there was such a huge aha. And I mean, I never looked back. That just kept me going until now, you know, because it was that moment and many other moments that followed that allowed me to be free, that allowed me to finally say, oh my God, I can have myself back. I can have my life back. I can have relationships if I want to and feel comfortable in them. You know, I don't have to hold on to these negative experiences, you know, and if that's my experience, I know that so many other people have their own stories with that. And so I just thought it would be valuable to share, you know, how that transformation happened for me.
Yes, I think that's terrific that you could even describe it like that. Here's what it means to me. And this is where, I guess, the old expression, where the rubber meets the road. You had your own sexual healing and it was like an exorcism. I mean, that right there in itself is, you know, that's got such content. That has so much meaning for you. Your life changed. So you're not just somebody who said, oh, I think I'll do this. Oh, this will be a good thing to do. Now this is the fad. I'm going to do it. No, you're somebody who took advantage of this type of healing for yourself, saw the value in it, and realized the value it could bring other people. And so to me, I mean, I wouldn't even want to work with people who didn't have that kind of experience. I want to work with people whose life got transformed from the very thing they now do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So yes, I mean, yes, of course. That's, you know, that's, to me, that's where the credibility, the accountability, the integrity comes in. You said before, integrity meaning oneness, wholeness. And the way I look at integrity is it's structural. It's more structural than, like, some people think integrity is like morality, but it isn't. It's really, if the bridge isn't built with integrity, then when cars drive over it, they're going to fall into the ocean or a river.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a foundation. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to say though, that, you know, that's how that first session was for me. And that's not how it is for everyone. I had a lot I had to let go of right off the bat. But, you know, subsequent sessions and first time sessions for people sometimes are actually, you know, usually there's emotions that come up. Usually there's pent up stuff that needs to be released. But, I mean, you know, it's a lot like, you know, what we do in Experience at ISTA. But coming and working with an individual one-on-one and privately, there is something that happens over time that I think that, you know, it's like you start loosening up the crustiness. You know, there's like this crusty old kind of energy that gets stuck onto us, and we get sort of, you know, stuck in our ways and patterns, and the crustiness starts to fall off, and it starts to feel, life starts to feel very tender, but yet really, I want to say bright. Like literally people come out of sessions and like the colors are brighter.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, remember there was a song, "The Future's So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades." I think that's true. I think that everything changes, sense of smell and sense of brightness and everything. The whole call to action in life changes when a person gets free, you know, and that's, I think that happens over time, but it could happen in a big burst to start with. Or it could happen in a big burst anywhere, but I think everything you're saying is so true and so needed and so necessary. It's like opening to the full possibility of making love to life.
Yes, yes, and it's so needed, so, so needed. And, you know, when I look around and just think, God, if this could just be available to everyone, you know, and if there didn't have to be so much stuff around it, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think Starbucks.
Yeah, right. We get a sexual healer where there's a Starbucks all over the planet. Wouldn't life be grand?
That's what I see in the future. I love it. I love it. Well, we're kind of running out of time, so I want to tell people how to get in touch with you. So first of all, if they're interested in private sessions with you, what's the best place for them to find you at?
Right now, the best place to find me at is ecstaticawareness.com. Ecstaticawareness.com. In about a month, the whole rebrand is going to happen, and then it's going to be triambikamaviv.com.
All right, so these are big mouthfuls. So yeah. the first thing we're going to do is spell out ecstatic awareness, and then we're going to spell your name too, because for some people they're like, "What?" So ecstatic awareness is, you want to spell it?
ecstaticawareness.
Okay, so that's ecstaticawareness.com.
Just the way it is in the dictionary.
Okay, most people don't spell ecstasy correctly. That's why I'm having you do it, because I have a course named Ecstasy, and when people write to me and they say they want to take the course, you know, they never get that word right. Okay, and then your name, triambikamaviv.com. So how, just spell that out for them as well, please.
TRIAMBIKAMAVIVE.
Okay. Good. All right. So that's for people who want to find you and they want to book a session or talk with you, or they hear about this and they, you know, they want to know something. They pique their interest, and hopefully it will pique a lot of people's interest. And then how do they find you if they all of a sudden got a call to action about practitioner training? Where's the best place to find information about that?
Well, two things I'll say about that. I mean, still contact me directly. That'd be great. And if you're an ISTA graduate, please go to istapt.com. So that's istapt.com. And you'll find all the trainings that we're doing all over the world and more information about what we're up to. And we would love to hear from you regardless. Just, you know.
I just heard from somebody who got accepted into that training, I think, who got accepted in that training. And she herself was ecstatic. So, this is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work. I'm so thrilled that you're doing what you're doing. And, I will promote it and help in any way. I just feel like I never looked back either. My seventh grade guidance counselor never told my parents I was going to be doing this in my life. who knows what they thought I was going to be doing, but, to me, this is so joyous and such a wonderful field. So I'm thrilled that you're in it and that I'm in it and that we're doing this and that we're going to be training other people to do it. So thank you so much for doing what you're doing, Triambika.
My pleasure. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, wonderful. And we're going to sign off now. I want to thank all the listeners, everybody who is listening to this show on a regular basis and who's listened today. And Tri, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to invite everybody to listen in next time. I'm not sure exactly what the next show is going to be, but these are the next three or four guests coming up. I have a woman who had a sexual awakening at 72, and she's amazing. She just did two ISTA, SSSEX trainings with me, spiritual, sexual, shamanic awakening, experience training, and she's awesome. She's going to be on the show. I have a sleep expert who's going to be talking about how important sleep is to your sex life. He's funny and amazing. He's an MD, but he was a Navy SEAL, and that's how he got into studying sleep. And then I also have a British man who's been on my show before, who talked about very, very, very open relating. He's going to be talking about his new book that's just come out, and it's also for men and empowering men. So that could be a nice follow-up to this show. So we'll see. Anyway, that's coming up in the very near future. So please tune into Sex and Happiness. This is Lori Handler signing off. Thank you so much. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. All I get is me.